Welcome to Podcasts by the Business Times. In this episode, find out how to protect yourself in the event of disability. This episode is brought to you by Great Eastern.
Many of us switch off when we hear the word disability. After all, that only happens to other people, right? But perhaps that's exactly why many of us aren't adequately protected or prepared for what could happen. So what exactly does it mean to be prepared for the worst? That's what we'll talk about today. I'm joined by Edwin Wee, Vice President of Accident and Health Business at Great Eastern, and Cynthia Cheung, Senior Manager from Agency for Integrated Care. Edwin, Cynthia, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Clarissa.
Hi, Clarissa.
Now let's jump right in and start with Edwin. What does it mean to be mildly disabled versus severely disabled, and does the former mean one can still somewhat function normally?
Yes, usually we refer to mild disability when someone is unable to perform one out of six activities of daily living. For example, dressing, toileting, feeding, and etc. Or what we call ADL in short. Moderate disability will be inability to perform two ADLs. And severe disability will be inability to perform at least three ADLs. To your question, whether someone suffering from mild disability can still somewhat function normally, I think it's subjective to say someone with mild disability is not suffering as much as someone with moderate or severe disability. Whether it is the inability to perform one, two, or three ADLs, it means that the person will need the assistance of a third-party device or a third party to perform the ADLs and cannot do so by themselves. Maybe at this point, I would like to have all listeners to try out this small experiment. First, try to imagine yourself buttoning your shirt normally. Sounds easy, right? How about now trying to do it without your index finger? It definitely is more challenging. This is a typical scenario of a mild disability caused by accidental injury to the index finger or illnesses such as arthritis. Well, you may argue that, you know, you only need to dress yourself once or twice a day. But what happens if the ADL affecting you are toileting and mobility? You could imagine that one will require the assistance almost 24/7 hours a day.
Edwin, could you expand on what it means by requiring 24/7 assistance? Do you think us Singaporeans are prepared for such a circumstance?
When we say 24/7 assistance, it may mean arranging for long-term care, either in a nursing home or at home with the assistance of a trained caregiver. Both of these options require money. Interestingly, in a recent survey done by Great Eastern, we've seen 8 in 10 survey respondents were unprepared or unsure on how to deal with the financial costs associated with disability.
Okay, so now here's the question we're all interested in. How much is enough? Because don't all Singaporeans and Singapore PRs from 30 onwards have CareShield Life, which helps to handle the costs of such long-term care?
Yes, Clarissa, you're right. All Singaporeans and Singapore PRs from age 30 onwards have CareShield Life to help to handle the cost of long-term care. However, the payout of $649 per month from CareShield Life may not be adequate if you start looking at the cost of various long-term care options. For example, care at a nursing home can easily range between $5,000 to $6,000 per month once you start adding items like rehabilitation, medications, and other consumables, for example, diapers and special milk formulas. You would think that alternatives like being cared for at home would cost much less, but this is not necessarily true. If you take out the cost of rehabilitation, medication, and other consumables outside of the equation, caring by loved ones or an existing helper at home does not mean that there's no additional cost. There's an often neglected cost item, which is the cost of respite care. So if you think about it, if the caregiver gets a day off, who looks after the care recipient? If there is no viable alternative, like having a family member to take care a day or two, then a professional caregiver would have to be engaged. This would definitely add on to the cost. So we did some math on caregiving at home. Adding all this cost item together can easily go up to $4,000 per month when you add all this respite care, rehabilitation, medications, and other consumables into the equations.
$4,000 is a lot.
Yes, definitely. So besides the dollars and cents, I think it's a timely reminder to all listeners out there, right? It's good to complement your financial planning with pre-planning tools such as Advanced Care Planning, or ACP in short.
Still to come, how do you want to be cared for when you're disabled? Turns out, you can plan that ahead of time. That's after the break.
And now back to podcasts by the Business Times, brought to you by Great Eastern.
We now bring Cynthia Cheung, Senior Manager from Agency for Integrated Care, into the conversation. Cynthia, Edwin mentioned the need to have an ACP in place to complement their long-term care insurance plan. What is an ACP?
Well, an ACP, which stands for Advanced Care Planning, is actually the process of planning for your current and future healthcare. So ACP helps you to communicate to your loved ones and healthcare team about your values and how these values shape your healthcare preferences. So in the event you are unable to make decisions or speak for yourself, your ACP then guides your loved ones and healthcare team to make decisions in your best interest. And sometimes, you know, we may encounter a medical crisis, which impairs our own capacity to make decisions. So in that case, or in such cases, we may need our loved ones to participate in decisions related to our health and personal care. So should this happen, ACP then helps you to communicate your values and healthcare preferences to your loved ones and your care team. ACP helps to avoid guilt, stress, and conflicts among your loved ones as your choices guide them towards making important care decisions for you.
Okay, clarify something for me. I'm a little bit confused. What is the difference between an ACP and a lasting power of attorney?
Well, a lasting power of attorney, LPA, actually in Form 1 grants your donee the legal rights to make decisions for you. But it does not tell your donee what to do for your personal welfare in the event they need to act on your behalf. However, on the other hand, an ACP is a non-legally binding healthcare document that helps you to communicate to your loved ones, who may also be your donee, about what to do about your personal welfare. So, for example, personal welfare matters includes where you should live, who you should live with, daily lifestyle, and healthcare decisions. So in order to reduce conflicting decisions among family members, we encourage you to nominate the same person as the donee and nominated healthcare spokesperson for both your LPA and also ACP.
Right. So what should one prepare before this conversation with an ACP facilitator?
Well, I would say there are two main things. So the first one is to think about what is important. Start with reflecting on your values, your wishes, and even quirks, right? This will help you to be clearer and more confident with your choices. You may use the ACP workbook to explore more, share your care preferences. You don't have to write down their wishes, although it can be helpful for you to refer it in the future. So the second thing you need to think about is to talk with your nominated healthcare spokesperson. So ACP is also about having a conversation with important people who will be your voice if you cannot speak for yourselves. We call this person a nominated healthcare spokesperson, NHS. So pick someone who you trust and feel comfortable sharing about your wishes and concerns with. The best people to talk with are usually your family members or, in some instances, trusted friends. Your NHS should ideally be at least 21 years old, be someone who knows you well, for example, a family member or a close friend, be willing to speak up for your goals and values on your behalf, be someone you trust and will act in your best interest to tell your doctors about the care you would like to receive should you lose mental capacity, and also be someone who can handle stressful situations. So talking with your NHS is the best way to make sure that their concerns are heard about your wishes and are carried out. So these conversations can vary and there is no right way of doing it.
Okay, now that we know more about ACP, how can one do their ACP? And again, always the question here, how much does it cost?
Right. So an ACP may be done at a government hospital, a polyclinic, and also even some social care providers. And some ACP providers may charge a nominal fee for doing an ACP. So please kindly check in with the individual provider on the cost.
Thank you for that, Cynthia. We have one more question, and this one's for Edwin Wee from Great Eastern. What is your final advice to all Singaporeans? We've been talking about this for a while.
Yes, my final advice to all Singaporeans is advanced care planning, ACP, lasting power of attorney, LPA, and long-term care insurance plan is just like the razor and blade analogy. You can't shave well with just one component. So at Great Eastern, we are progressively equipping the agency force with the knowledge on ACP and LPA. They are there to remind their clients and family members to do their LPA and ACP while they can.
Edwin and Cynthia, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
This was the second episode of a two-part series on disability insurance, brought to you by Great Eastern. I'm Clarissa Montero from The Business Times. Till next time.
This episode of Podcasts by The Business Times was brought to you by Great Eastern. Find more BT podcasts at businesstimes.com.sg/podcasts. Or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is meant to provide general information only. SPH Media accepts no liability for loss arising from any reliance on the podcast or use of third parties' products and services. Please consult professional advisors for independent advice.